Talk, talk, check, check. Microphone check for the month of movies.
Month of May.
That's like, that rapping movies. Was just as good as The Visit.
Oh, fuck, you're right. I was just talking about the movie.
I was going to bring it up, but we didn't. We just talked about The Village. We're talking about M. Night Shyamalan movies.
Sorry.
A couple of people I work with really like that movie.
Village or The Visit? I liked Village a lot.
I know. I'm like that. To me, The Village is the movie that people crapped on the most that didn't deserve being crapped on.
That's probably my favorite one of his.
Like, Happening is bad and a lot of people crap on it, but for good reason.
Yeah.
The Village, they crap on it for dumb reasons.
Yeah.
And I liked it.
I liked it a lot.
I gotta watch that again. But anyway, month of movies of May.
Month of May.
Month of May movies.
Let's Camera Action, Scott Rumott presents. Uh-oh.
So anyway, I'll start then since you don't know what you're doing. So for the year 2017, I made a list of movies that I should have seen by now that are really popular and famous. And at the start of the podcast, I mentioned the two movies I watch each month just in case I spoil it, which a lot of times I do spoil the movies. This way, you know I'm going to spoil the movies. Like I said, I think everyone has seen these movies except me. So that's why I don't feel bad spoiling them. So for this month, the two movies I watched that I should have watched by now are Misery, a Stephen King movie with, what's her face?
Kathy Bates.
Kathy Bates. And the other movie I watched was Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas with Johnny Depp and Benicio Del Toro.
And not Kathy Bates.
And not Kathy Bates.
I am watching, this year I decided to watch, I have a lot of movies sitting around, so I decided to watch 100 of the movies that I own that I haven't watched since I bought them.
Which is kind of funny because one of the movies that I watched this month, I ended up buying it after I watched it. So it's like, kind of works that way. But I feel like I would have to watch it again since I paid for it after I watched it.
Yeah, and then whatever else, other movies we watched that month. I have quite a few movies, so I'll go first.
Yeah, I saw 5 movies this month. I watched a lot of TV. I watched a Netflix docu-series, which I guess if you combine it all, it's like a movie, but it's a TV show.
Yeah. Well, I watched a lot of Mystery Science Theater 3000, which they're like if I take away the jokes, they're movies.
I watched some stand-up. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, I did, but I didn't write them down.
But anyways, I watched the first movie I watched this month was Perkins's 14.
Perkins's 13. So his name's Perkins.
Yes.
And he is now 13.
Nope.
14?
He owns 14.
He owns
14.
The number 14.
No, here's what happens.
Something. 14 so, is something.
The movie starts out with a guy who's a police officer, and you realize through, like...
His name's Perkins.
No, it's not, actually.
Is Perkins the name of the town?
No. It took a little bit. But the cop is like...
I thought you were talking about the restaurant.
No, that's Perkins. Oh, Perkins. Shit, you're right.
Yeah.
I was thinking, to me, I thought it was Perkins apostrophe 14. I was thinking, like, oh, it's a high school graduation or something.
Oh,
but
yeah,
no,
yeah.
It's Perkins apostrophe and then 14, like possessive of Perkins. But anyways, what the movie's about is this guy who's a cop, and he's basically like, oh, it's the 10-year anniversary of our son disappearing, and you're like, oh, okay, so there's a plot right there. His wife and him aren't getting along since the kid got all disappeared and stuff. And then, as the guy's making his rounds, he realizes there's a guy in the cell, and he's like, whoa, who's this guy? And his name is Perkins, and after a little bit of digging around, he's like, I figured out this 10-year-old problem that you kidnapped all those kids that went missing. And he's like, oh, no, don't go in my house. So he goes over to his house.
Don't go in my house. That's what an innocent person says.
Well, I mean, he was telling him. He's like, I'm going to go check out your place. He's like, oh, don't do that. And then he finds all these cages in the basement. And so the guy gets mad and shoots the prison, like the guy in the jail, in the head. And they're like, oh, what? Solved itself pretty fast.
Whoa, this movie poster looks old.
Yeah, probably. It's probably a... But then you find out that Perkins, the guy... Yep, Perkins. He basically kidnapped these kids and tortured the fuck out of them.
So he kidnapped 14
until,
kids.
Until, yeah, all 14 missing kids. Until this night on the 10th anniversary, he let them loose and they just go around town killing people. In the sense that they seem like zombies because they're just like...
Yeah, they don't know what the world is like.
They don't... Yeah, like they are just angry. Kind of like the zombies from like 28 Days Later, where they just run around and just murder whoever they want.
Holy shit, yeah.
But if you bite them, I mean, if he bites anybody, it's not like they fucking transfer anything or whatever.
That would be very weird.
Yeah. So, last month I kind of made this angry noise about how horror movies, spoiler, in case you didn't care, in case you care about this movie.
One of three endings.
Yeah, they have one of three endings. One ending, like I mentioned, that I hate is when they go, here's this dilemma that's coming up, and then the main character ends up dying, and you go, nothing fucking happened. Well, guess what? He's like, oh, my son's still in there somewhere. Son, it's me. Your father, I love you. And his son ends up murdering his dad. And then what happens? We don't know. They go into credits, and the kids run off from town, and you go, what happened? Does anything happen? We don't know, because majority of the movie is them running around trying to get away from the fucking zombie kids or whatever. Dumb movie, 4.5. And I see IMDb gave it 5.1.
Yeah.
So I was close. The next movie on this box set that I had was called...
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're watching these stupid movie box sets.
No. There's some decent ones in there. That one just happened to suck. This is the...
I just remember last month you had some shitty...
Yeah, but there's some good ones too. The broken one, and then the other one that I talked about... That was good.
The broken one?
It's called The Broken.
Oh, okay, sorry.
The mirror people.
I thought it was, like, you're saying the broken one. You know, the one that had a huge box damage.
Yeah, the one with the mirror people and then the butterfly effect that was on there. Those weren't bad. Yeah, this is an after-movie horror fest, whatever. Anyways, the next one I watched was Voices. It's called Voices. And it was kind of cool at first. And then after a while, I'm like, I don't know what the fuck's happening. Color me racist, but I'm not very good at keeping track of... If people look similar, I can't tell them apart.
Yeah, if there's two brunette girls that are very similar.
Yeah, exactly, like in that one Slaughter one. Well, this one...
It's a single white female.
Yeah. Yeah. But this one's, I think, a Japanese movie. So what ends up happening is... Like, these girls and stuff are like, oh, getting ready for their aunt to get married. And then they're talking about this curse that the family has. And they go, what the curse? Oh, you know, we're just very unlucky. And then wedding show part happens, the bride falls off like a third floor balcony and dies. And they're like, what the fuck happened? Did someone push her? Did she jump? What's going on? But then she was still alive and in, like, the hospital. And then her sister just, like, loses her shit and stabs her sister to death in the hospital bed. And, like, what the fuck is going on? And then they realize that, like, this family has this weird... Or they hint at the fact that this family has this weird curse where people kind of lose their minds and end up... People either trying to kill them or they end up killing themselves type thing. And it's pretty interesting, and it's one of those movies that it seems like this is the end of it, and then it goes on for another 5 minutes, and no, this is the end, and then it goes on for another 5 minutes. It was pretty decent. It had some cool stuff going on with it. I haven't really seen a movie like that before. I gave it a 6.5 because I was enjoying it. But it wasn't anything that, like, was, you know, over, I would recommend it. So you need to see this. But it was on the verge of, like, it was enjoyable.
Oh, I can say one of my first. I only watched five. You watched a lot more than me.
Yeah.
So the first movie I watched. I said I had this list of movies that I should watch. I went to turn on the TV to watch one of them, and it was pulled off of Netflix and Hulu and stuff. So a bunch of the movies I was going to watch weren't on there, and I'm like, well, I want to watch something. So I decided to watch Sausage Party. in case you haven't heard of this movie, it's a Seth Rogen animated film where all the food is alive. And they live in a grocery store, and their afterlife is when the gods, aka the humans, take them and they leave the department store.
Oh,
so they're like, oh, we can get to move on to the next life or whatever. But then they find out that they just get murdered and like chopped up and, you know, like burned alive and all this crazy stuff. So they're trying to warn everybody else that's in the grocery store.
But how do they do that if they're at home?
Okay, so what happens is the lady buys a bunch of groceries, comes home, and one of the hot dogs falls out of the package, aka he gets out, and she goes to return it because it doesn't have all the hot dogs in it.
Yeah.
So the hot dogs that were in there.
Okay.
Yeah. And the concept was very interesting, how they were, like, I don't know, it was interesting how they were portraying different religious beliefs, because, you know, they had, like, the kosher foods and stuff like that, so, like, every type of food had a different religious belief, and then they compared it to, like, I don't know. It was very interesting on how they made it real. I mean, it wasn't that funny of a movie. It was apparently really offensive to people, but I wasn't really offended by it. There was some stuff that probably didn't need to happen in the movie, but I wouldn't say, oh my God, I can't believe they did this, because I've seen worse in movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of people know about the ending. I'm going to mention it. So if you don't want the ending ruined for Sausage Party, skip ahead like 2 minutes. Because basically at the end of the movie, there's a giant orgy scene. Because they all find like, oh, life is worth living, blah, blah, blah. And they all like have sex with each other. And they're different foods, so they do unique ways of doing it. Different food things.
Now, could they get pregnant?
I don't know.
Like little cocktail.
You don't actually get to see any like genitalia.
Mm.
It's all like just below the frame of the TV.
I didn't mean for that to sound like intrigued or anything.
But and then at the very end, they were like, "Oh, this is ridiculous!" Da, 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 da. And they're like, "We're not real food." I'm like, what? We're just animated. We're animated, and their voices are doing our. Like,
so they broke the fourth wall?
Yeah.
They pulled a Mel Brooks ending?
Yeah. I fucking hated the ending.
Them.
Yeah. That was really dumb. You had me up until then.
Jesus.
But, what did I give it? I gave it a...
12 stars!
No.
18!
I gave it a 5 out of 10. Because, like I said, probably mentioned what a 5 means for me, is that I didn't regret watching it, but I didn't need to see it. Like, it was an entertaining movie, but it wasn't anything special. I didn't hate it, and I didn't love it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what a 5 is to me. Like, anything below a 5 is ones that I probably could have gone without seeing. Where this was a 5, I don't regret watching it. It had, like I said, it had some very interesting points, especially when you're looking at the religious side of things. And, I don't know, Michael Cera, his hot dog character was hilarious. I didn't laugh out loud, but I just liked, because he was a deformed hot dog, because every once in a while you get a big hot dog, you get the little deformed one. So that was kind of funny. But yeah, I gave it a 5. It was on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
That's how I saw it.
The next movie I watched is a movie called Dying Breed. Now, years ago, let me tell you a little history story.
Oh, history.
No, actually, well, that's how the movie starts. But I guess I could explain this movie. It feels like a cross between Wolf's Creek, ta-da, and what's the Deliverance, kind of. Where it takes place in Australia, and this girl's like, I need to try to figure out, because my sister was looking for this extinct, presumably extinct animal. It's like a tiger, some sort of tiger thing. It looks kind of like a hyena tiger thing that's in Australia. And but they had a flashback at the very, very beginning to like years ago, back when Australia was basically a dumping ground for convicts and stuff like that. And it shows like one of this convict escaping from the law and stuff. And then at one point he's just running around and he attacks the police by like biting their throats and stuff. And then it goes to present day. You're like, oh, this dying breed, I wonder what it is. I wonder if they're cannibals. Sure enough, there's cannibals living in the woods. But they don't tell you that until about an hour in.
You feel like if they're in the woods, they have plenty of animals to eat.
Well, here's the thing. but the girl's like, hey, I gotta find out what happened to my sister, because I need to pick up where her research left off, because they found her dead in the river a couple years prior. So they go off to this little village, and people in that little village are like acting all weird, like, oh, don't go in the forest or something like that, you shouldn't be around here, whatnot. Then they end up going on the river a ways and finding a little camping area and stuff like that, but then one of the people with them disappears, and they find her like all bloody and parts of her in the bushes and stuff like that, and they so on and so forth. And once again, I'll let you guess which one of the three endings this one has. But
yeah, don't ruin it. Let us guess which one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. It was okay. It was actually okay, this is decent, and then it just kind of like went. But like, I do have to give it one thing. The ending did kind of make me go, did actually make me feel something a little bit. But then I got just mad a little bit. But I gave it a 5. So it was just a good old-fashioned average movie. The next one, the last one in the box set, was called From Within. Now, the movie starts off, and this one actually had a pretty cool premise in my mind, even though it was almost exactly like a movie prior that I just talked about voices. What happens is in this town, this boy is talking to his girlfriend, and she's like, "Oh yeah, blah blah blah," just talking and stuff, and then he pulls out a gun and kills himself.
Oh, jeez.
And like, oh, Jesus, that came out of nowhere. Then the girl, freaks out because she just saw her boyfriend.
Voices? So you said?
This one is called From Within.
Oh, From Within.
But it reminds me, it's similar to Voices.
Oh, okay.
Because then the girl, the guy that, blows his brains out, and the girl's, his girlfriend, she's, freaks out, and she's running, oh my God, this is what happened. And oh God, poor girl, you just saw that happen. And then when they leave her alone for a second, they come back and she's like, she killed herself. And you're like, holy shit, a lot of suicides going on in this town. But then there's this force that whoever is near the last person that kills himself, then they want to kill themselves. But they see a version of themselves coming after them. So
it's a little like It Follows.
Kind of. I guess it kind of is, yeah. But,
except no but, real reason.
Yeah,
why.
No real reason. but then, this town is a very, very religious town. So, all these kids killing themselves. That's not what Jesus likes and stuff like that, you know? All that crazy stuff. But then eventually you're finding out more and more about these other kids that, the town kind of just hates. Because they believe in their own religion, and they find out eventually when the main character, she's like, oh, she keeps seeing a version of herself chasing after her, and they find out that this book that they believed in it all started when the first kid killed himself. He was doing it as a sacrifice to put this curse upon the town because the town had wronged them horribly. And eventually, the plan was for the whole town to end up killing itself. So it was kind of cool because it had this whole like, holy shit! It wasn't just like this horror thing. It's like he was like, "Fuck you, town! You deserve this." Boom. But it actually had some pretty cool, like, yeah, it was weird, but it had some cool moments. Like it was a horror movie. Like, even though I said there's a few movies like it, it's not really something you see very often, but I gave it a 6.5. So it was not bad.
Nice.
Wanna go now? Now the other
sure.
one?
Sure. The next movie I watched was also on Netflix. It was one that I'd been wanting to watch for a bit. It's called The Giver, based on a book a lot of people read when they're in like middle or high school.
Is it George C. Scott?
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't know.
But anyway, I never read the book. But I remember a lot of people, like when I was in school, they were saying, excuse me, they were saying the book was really good. So,
nope, that's an actor. Sorry.
So I watched it. It's Jeff Bridges. Is to me kind of the main character. I don't know. There's this kid that's the main character, but anyway, it takes place in a utopian future where they got rid of wars and religion and any kind of conflict. But in order to do so, you wake up in the morning, you get your daily vitamin shot type thing, but it numbs you. So you don't have any feelings or emotions. And you get assigned a job and a family and stuff like that. So each family has a mom and a dad and kids, but they're not necessarily...
like related to them?
Yeah, because there's no emotion and feelings. So like one person's job is to have babies. And when the babies are born, then they go to specific families. So it's like, it's utopian, so there's like no disagreements or anything like that. But as you find, like, and then once the kids get to a certain age, they're considered an adult, so they get assigned a job. So you follow like these three kids, and they go through graduation and they read off every name, and they say, this is what your job is now. And they get to this main kid's name. But they don't say it. They go to the next person. So, like, it's like graduation, but they skipped him.
Uh-huh.
So he's just standing there waiting for his name. And, like, everybody's done it. And they're like, oh, congratulations to all the graduates. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. We forgot about you. You are now... oh, shit. I should have wrote this down. The memory keeper, I think is what they called it. You're the memory keeper. And they're like, okay.
Ironic that they forgot about it.
Yeah, I know, right? So, this job is unlike any other. No one else has this job. Jeff Bridges is the current keeper of the memories. I think that's what it is, the keeper of the memories. So, he's training the new kid to take his place, pretty much. And by holding each other's hands, he can transfer memories to him. But he's doing a little bit at a time, so it doesn't get overwhelming. So, he starts... seeing color, and he starts...
the receiver of memories.
There it is, receiver of memories. So, yeah, so he's the... like, Jeff Bridges is the giver of memories, and then the kid is the receiver of memories. That's why it's called The Giver.
Ah.
So, Jeff Bridges is giving this kid memories of a time before the utopian future. So, he's starting to see, hey, there's colors in the world.
Oh, it's in black and white?
Yeah. So then he starts seeing colors, and then... he starts experience joy and happiness. And he's like, oh my gosh, this is great. And he's trying to get his friends and to understand it, but they don't, because obviously they don't have the memories.
So I wonder if like Pleasantville was like a play on this book.
Maybe.
Or, I don't know.
And as the movie goes, the kid starts learning more and more, and then he finds out about death and war and all this stuff. And he's like, this isn't right. And he basically comes up with the idea that we need to stop this utopian future and go back to the way things were. So then it gets like, it gets pretty crazy. It was a pretty interesting movie. Yeah, like Kate Holmes is in it.
Yeah, I saw that.
Alexander
Skarsgård.
Yeah, the guy.
Meryl Streep.
The guy who was in True Blood.
Yes, Eric. That's Alexander Skarsgård.
Yeah, Eric from True Blood is in it. But yeah, it was a pretty good movie. The overall message is enjoy everything, the good with the bad and all that stuff.
Even war.
Yeah, there was like a part, I guess it's not really spoiling because it's like halfway through the movie, but you know how like they give birth to the babies and they assign them to families, but if there's too many babies, they just dispose of them.
Uh-huh.
So they like kill the babies, but since they don't have emotion, they don't realize what they're doing is wrong.
Uh-huh.
So they like suffocate and kill the baby. And it's just like, and of course he's the only person that knows this. He's like, that's not right. We need to save that baby. Yeah, I thought it was a pretty good movie. Like I said, I watched it on Netflix. If you have Netflix, I suggest checking it out. I gave it a 7.5.
All right.
That's pretty good.
The next movie I watched on my list was another box set, but it was a Stephen King movies box set. And I never saw Cat's Eyes, so I was excited to watch Cat's Eyes, but because I found it was an anthology movie. Now here's part of the problem with anthology movies.
Mm-hmm.
Is sometimes the movies, the little snippets can be too short for it to be good.
Yeah.
Now,
well, sometimes like the good ones are too short and the bad ones are long.
Yeah, but
or,
like,
or feel that way, I should say.
But like the short stories, I think the third one is made up for the movie, unless I remember wrong. But so I don't remember the third part. But basically, the movie's called Cat Eyes, and you follow the cat like as this umbrella story, and you kind of follow the cat.
Oh, Cat People. I was like trying to think. I'm like, didn't you watch this? Oh, no, you watched Cat People.
I don't watch. Oh, yeah, I did watch Cat People. That's right. Two versions. But like this cat, like running around, and they, of course, they had to toss a few like Stephen King references in it because, like, the cat's running across the street, and he almost gets hit by... He is chased by this giant St. Bernard who looks
Cujo.
All, like, matted down fur and, like, slobbery. And then he almost gets hit by a car, which is, like, a red hot rod. And then, like, when it takes off, it's, like, playing, like, Bad to the Bone or whatever. I don't fucking remember, but it was obviously Christine. But then he gets picked up by this car, and they the first story is Quitter's Ink, which I want to say... Oh, God, I don't remember which one that was in. I think it was either Nightmares and Dreamscapes or Night Shift. But Quitter's Ink is it's a short story about how it's just like this business that helps you quit smoking. And this guy goes to it, and he's like, yeah, I want to quit smoking. And they're like, oh, sure. All right, like once you sign up, though, like the thing is, if you sign up, and it's basically like run by... people that used to be like in a mob, so they follow you around and like are watching you all the time. And if you ever start smoking or pick up a cigarette and smoke or whatever, they don't hurt you, they hurt people in your family. So like they'll come after your wife or your daughter or whatever and stuff like that. So like it's one of those things where he's like, he's getting all paranoid and he's like, oh, you know, like fucking being followed around and stuff. The short story, I liked it better than the movie version, obviously, because that's what books do. Then the second one, it was a short story called The Ledge, which I liked that short story too, and I didn't care for the version too much of how they did it as a movie, but it's a guy who is sleeping with this mobster's wife, I mean,
mm-hmm.
and the mobster finds out, so he's like, hey, here's what I want you to do. Like, on this, like, giant, like, 20-story building or whatever, he's like, I want you to get on the other side of this railing and walk along the ledge all the way around. If you make it all the way around, I'll let you go. But if you don't, you'll fucking fall
all
the
way down. Yeah.
Yeah. And the story's pretty cool, but, because it seemed like he's basically narrating himself and, like, going around the building, like, explaining what's happening and stuff. Mm-hmm. But in the movie, it felt like the mobster was, like, kept popping over through windows and corners and stuff. Like, oh, just, like, fucking with them. But I'm like, doing that in itself would have been hard enough, but they had to cram that into, like, a short, like, 20-minute thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third part was called The General, where... and, of course, Drew Barrymore is, like, the daughter in, like, the young girl in this thing the whole time. There's this... The girl, like, she finds... They find a cat outside, which is the main cat. And she's like, oh, can I keep him? And the mom's like, I don't know. That cat, he's going to be trouble. But then, so the cat sleeps inside. And then in the morning, they find that the bird, her bird is dead. And she's all sad, like, oh, my bird's dead. And she's like, it's the cat's fault. That cat did something. But then you find out that there's this little, like, goblin or gnome or, like, something that lives in the walls that's trying to, like, kill the little girl, and the cat's been protecting her. So, like, on the final night, like, of the little sketch thing, like, it's a fight between a cat and this little, like, gnome creature. It's pretty weird. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah. See, the cat's getting all mad. He's like, fuck you guys, I'm a cat. But it... It was all right. Like, James Woods was in it. The guy... Oh, shit. The guy from Airplane, I think, was in it. I don't know. It was an all right movie. I like anthology movies, but I would have been excited to see... I don't know. Because, like, they're all good stories, but, like, only one of them is kind of, like, horror-ish, supernatural, because the other one's just like, hey, we're normal people putting people's lives in their hands. I gave it a 6.5. It was all right.
And that was what again?
That was Cat's Eyes.
Cat's Eyes, okay.
Cat's Eyes.
Just trying to the title at the
end. Yeah. The next movie, though, I watched was Creepshow, another anthology movie by Stephen King. But this movie, I fucking love it. Creepshow, and actually the thing is, I'm not going to go through each little part because there was like 5 or 6 parts to it. But the overall umbrella story is that this kid's dad finds him reading a comic book. He's like mad at him. He's like, oh, this stuff is garbage. It's going to rot your mind. You wasted your money on this stuff, blah, blah, blah. And he throws the comic book away. And the kid's all mad at him. So he throws it away. But then, like, the comic book is in the garbage can. And then the wind's, like, blowing it as the pages go. Oh, nice. It's like, oh, this story and stuff. But the little kid in the movie is Joe Hill, who is Stephen King's kid and who is also a writer. But, yeah, there's a... Rob Schraub loves, like, one of the short stories, like, the short stories in it. It's Father's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Make me a cake. Where's my cake, Bedelia? There's a couple short stories. What about one called Father's Day? I don't know all the titles, but one called Father's Day. There's one of the one I really like has like Leslie Nielsen and Ted Danson in it. Like, and I think it's called High Tide, I think. But yeah, it's awesome because it's based. Stephen King wrote it. George Romero directed it. And but like whenever they have any sort of like intense, like, oh my god, they had like they had the person's face, and then behind him was like sort of like the starburst, like exclamation things from like a comic book. So they made it really like the visuals like really comic book like. I don't know. I like the movie a lot. I gave it an 8. But yeah, because it's got like 5 parts, and the part that Stephen King plays in it,
mm-hmm.
it's the funny one, because it's like this hillbilly who finds this meteor, and he's like, oh, a meteor? I could sell this to the science people or whatever, and like he's has like this daydream of him like selling like, how much you want to sell it for? He's like, I'll buy it for $50. Better make it $100. No. 200. And he's just like, all right, give him like $200 for a meteor. But then he's like, it's too hot, so he pours a bucket of water on it, and then it cracks in half. He's like, oh, dargone it. And then, like, in his mind, he's like, no, I'm not gonna buy this meteor from you because you broke it. But then there's like this stuff on the inside, this he starts like growing this like this mossy fungus on his fingers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's and then it starts like spreading and stuff. But it's a pretty funny one because Stephen King's just a doofus character. It's amazing. But yeah, Creepshow gave it an 8.
Nice.
Your turn.
So the first movie this month that I watched that I should have watched was Misery.
Stephen King.
Yeah. I knew the basic premise, and, you know, it's one of those movies that even if you haven't seen it, you know it.
Yeah.
So that's probably why I haven't watched it, because I'm like, yeah, I know enough about it. And I've seen parts in the past, but I never actually sat down and watched the whole thing through.
Yeah,
so that's what I decided to do.
The same thing until I didn't watch it until I bought the pack that it came in.
Oh, okay. It was a single.
Well, it's a
box.
It's like a sleeve thing, like a.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just like four of them. And then.
Yeah. So, in case you don't know what Misery is, it's a movie based on a Stephen King novel. It stars.
Caine.
Michael Caine.
No.
What's his name? James Caan.
James Caan. I was close.
James Caan and Kathy Bates. James Caan is a famous writer.
Paul Sheldon.
Paul Sheldon, that's right. He gets into a car. His car slides and crashes off the road, flips upside down. And Kathy Bates' character finds him and brings him inside. She's like, oh, I saved your life, blah, 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 blah. And she is his biggest fan. She's like crazy fan. Like, I've read all your books like 10 times and da da da. And yeah, so she's like talking to him, and he just finished a book in the Misery series, right?
Yeah, it's because her name is something Misery. Like her last name
so
is Misery.
So he wrote the last book in the series, and he was on his way to publish it. You know, he had the...
Yeah.
And he crashed. And she's like, do you mind if I read it? And he's like, yeah, sure, go ahead. And she gets upset because he basically kills off the main character in the book. And she's upset. She's like, no, this can't be done. This is a great series. It needs to keep going. And then you start to see how, like, crazy she is.
Yeah.
At that point. And she basically forces him to write a new novel.
With a broken typewriter.
Yeah. And, yeah, it just kind of, like, escalates. At first, you're like, okay, this is a little uncomfortable. And then as the movie goes, it gets more and more uncomfortable. He's trying to find, like, try to figure out a way to escape, pretty much. Because he can't walk because he got fucked up in the car crash. So he, like, finds, like, different ways to try to, like, escape, but they keep failing.
Yeah.
Like he tries to poison her wine, stuff like that. But then, yeah, the like epic scene is she has a sledgehammer,
yeah,
and smashes the fuck out of his legs so he can't escape.
Yeah.
So I mean, I knew that scene before seeing the movie because it's the most iconic scene in the movie.
Yeah.
And then I also remember the part where he smashes her with the typewriter.
Yeah. Just beans
her. It's like, damn. And the funny thing is, I shouldn't say funny, but the thing is, kids nowadays have no idea how heavy those things are.
Yeah.
Those things are
like heavier
incredibly
than,
heavy. Like, heavier than they look.
I would say heavier than the original Xbox.
Right. Like, these things are just pure metal and compartments and stuff. And, oh, my God.
Yeah.
But yeah, in the end, it works out for him.
Did you see that someone made a video online where a lady dressed up like Kathy Bates' character and went to like Barnes & Noble?
Oh god!
And was asking like, do you have this book? And he goes like, no,
asking for the Misery.
Yeah, but basically like asking for like, she's like, you don't know who Paul Sheldon is? He's a great author. He's one of the best authors. And she just like ends up like freaking out and like. And I can't remember
how many Paul Sheldon books.
And like, yeah, and the guy's like, I don't think so. He's looking at the computer. He's like, I'm not seeing anything and stuff like that. She's like, you don't know who Paul? Do you know who Paul Sheldon? And then just like, she's like making up a whole scene. But like,
oh my god,
like she even says like, I can't remember when she like doesn't swear, but she's like, gosh darn it or something like that, or like mother. I can't remember what she says.
Yeah, because she doesn't really swear in the movie.
No. But like she says like the worst is like, gosh darn it or something like that. And she says that in the video. It's fucking great.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, Misery, I gave it a 7.
Nice. The next movie I watched, again, still back in the Stephen King box set, was Dreamcatcher. Now, I watched this movie many years ago, and I still, like, don't really know what the hell's happening.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, a different version of It. Because it's of these kids.
Instead of a monster, there's a little special child.
Yeah. Whoa. instead of an alien, it's an alien. Oh, shit. Because.
Pennywise is an alien?
What?
Pennywise is an alien?
Yeah.
Oh. I just knew he was a creature, but I didn't know if they actually said he was an alien.
Oh, yeah, I know. At one point, when in the book, they do like a. What is it when people like wander out in the forest and they have like a vision?
Abduction?
No, like they have like a vision, they go off for like a couple days and then they.
Oh, a vision quest?
Yeah, vision quest. Like the kids, like, do a vision quest, and one of them sees, because like it's a spaceship like crashes in the Earth like years, like dinosaur times, and like it is basically living dinosaur and times. It is basically like living under Pennywise is living underground for that long. That's why he's there for so many years as a clown.
Oh.
But anyways, this movie, it's about a bunch of kids who, when they're younger, they meet this kid who's like special needs kid who's not all there, but he's got like sort of weird mystical magical powers. But they grew up and they always used to go up north to this like cabin and go hunting. And right before I don't want to say too many details, but when they're up there, one of the guys notices this hunter just like wandering around randomly in the snow, and like, dude, what's wrong with you? He's like, oh, I've been lost for days. I need help. So the guy's like, all right, fine, we'll bring him back to our cabin and take care of him stuff. And while he's at the cabin, he basically like explodes from the stomach, and there's a creature, this like weird like worm
comes out of his ass.
Yeah, but like, yeah, it like blows a hole in his ass, though. Like just like ass blasted. That's happening, and so it's trying to like kill all the other characters, and in the meantime, like story B, Morgan Freeman is like leading this elite group. Right. Yeah, this elite group of like army guys who are like trying to like quarantine the area because they're aware of this alien type creature. It's very weird. It's like it's got a couple of actors in it before they're like really, really like a well known name. Like Tom Jane is in it, Jason Lee. Like this is before like My Name Is Earl.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Jane, I think like he just did Punisher. Yeah, maybe the guy
from Dead.
What, the guy from Dead?
I can't remember the name. The fucking. The HBO show, the cowboy one.
Westworld?
No.
Oh, Deadwood.
Deadwood, that's it. I was like Dead something.
Oh, Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah, yes. There we go.
Sorry, yeah, before, this is, yeah, before.
That was before Deadwood.
Before
Deadwood.
Justified.
Yeah.
It
was before Deadwood.
And then, like, one of the army guys is one of the bad guys from Big Trouble. I remember that. But yeah, it's not bad. It's very weird for a Stephen King book, but I guess you were telling me that like he wrote that after he got hit by a car.
Yeah, it was when he got that van accident. he was on opioids and
he's on a lot of drugs.
Yeah, he was on a lot of painkillers, and he wrote that. And I guess now he says that that's the worst book he's ever written because he wasn't fully there when he read it when he wrote it, and also. It's one of those movies that you're watching it and you're like, oh, the book probably makes more sense. But I heard the book is pretty fucked up too. Like, I mean, obviously Stephen King was saying he wrote it. I'm talking about the book.
Yeah.
So there's like a lot of stuff that doesn't make sense in the movie that makes even less sense in the book. Because you feel like they're leaving a lot of stuff out, which they do. They leave a lot of stuff out of the movie, but it doesn't, it just makes it more confusion in the book.
It's not a horrible movie. It's fun to watch. Like, it's like one of those movies that even if it's not entertaining, like, it looks nice. Like, I just like the colors and stuff they use in the movie. I gave it a 7. Speaking of Kathy Bates, though, and Stephen King movies.
Yeah.
Dolores Claiborne.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that one.
Yeah. I never watched...
I never watched it.
I watched... I caught, like, the last half hour of the movie on, like, USA many, 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 many years ago. Like, back when I was thinking I was still in high school. So I finally got to watch the movie. It's pretty good. It's a good one. The very beginning of the movie is Kathy Bates. Like, you see her... and she's, like, pushing this old lady in a wheelchair. You see the old woman tumble down the stairs. And then Kathy Bates runs into the kitchen looking for something to bash the woman's head in. And as she's standing there over the body of the woman, the mailman comes in and is like, "Oh, my God, Dolores, what are you doing?" Cut to her daughter, Jennifer Jason Leigh, I think. Yeah, Jennifer Jason Leigh.
I didn't see the movie, so I can't answer your question.
Yeah, Jennifer Jason Leigh. Single white female girl. She works for like a newspaper, and then she gets this fax saying, "Hey, come back home. Your mother needs you." So then she comes home and she finds out what happened, and like they're basically assuming that Dolores Claiborne had killed the old woman, and so like the daughter's like all like she hates her mother, like they have a huge disconnect and stuff like that. But then throughout the movie, you like. They're gaining trust with each other and learning like their each other's past and what's been happening over the last years and stuff like that, and then you find out like the reasoning why, like because years ago people assumed like her Dolores Claiborne's husband had a freak accident, and the sheriff assumed that Dolores Claiborne killed her husband, so he's been on her ass for years, and so he's like the one like trying to pin this whole like old woman murder on her, and then but you find out through the story like, hey, this is what's been happening, this is what like they keep having flashbacks, whether like telling stories or the characters having flashbacks and stuff. But it's Stephen King can kind of do some women violence writing pretty well. I don't mean that way. I don't mean it's good when he writes about women violence, but like he's good at making it like just like you just feel super bad and like fucking going, "God damn it, I hate that there's people like this in the world." Like he really knows how to make that like human villain, mm-hmm. you know. But I really like the movie. I never saw it in its entirety before, and I like it. John C. Reilly is in it as a police officer.
Oh yeah,
and he is super young and weird looking because his face is all round and he has more hair. But yeah, he's in it. But I gave Dolores Claiborne, I gave that a 7.5.
Nice.
It's good. I liked it.
So the next movie I watched, was also a movie that I feel like I should have watched by now. I know you watched it. Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Johnny Depp movie, Terry Gilliam production. I don't know. If you haven't seen this movie... It's basically a movie where it's Johnny Depp is a writer.
Uh-huh.
And his lawyer is Benicio Del Toro. And they go to Vegas and they just got like a suitcase full of drugs and alcohol. And they just get fucked up.
And wander around.
Yeah. And the entire movie, they're just like out of their mind and seeing shit that's not there. I didn't realize... that the, like we're in Bat Country came from that movie.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, that makes sense because he's seeing bats that no one else is seeing. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of people in that movie, a lot of cameos. The movie, I was watching the movie.
Sorry, I just saw the Rotten Tomatoes score, but that's surprising.
This is the audience.
Yeah.
It's not surprising.
I don't know. I guess yeah.
More audience people like it than professionals.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, they get fucked up a lot. And I'm watching the movie, and like the lawyer leaves, and Johnny Depp's all by himself. And he's like, "Oh, I got to get out of town, blah, blah, blah." I thought the movie was wrapping up.
Yeah.
But that was the halfway point of the movie. So, like, basically the second act took over. I'm like, oh, my God. But it is a very weird movie. A lot of weird shit. I don't even know how to explain this movie.
I remember two parts. One where he's like, I don't know if he's carrying an accordion or if it's just his suitcases he's falling all over. And at one point, he's in a tent.
Yeah, there's like this desert race thing going on. Yeah,
I don't remember anything about it.
They get kicked out of a casino. But for how fucked up they are on drugs and alcohol, I'm just like, how is everyone just ignoring them? Like, just letting them do this?
Vegas.
Yeah. But then by like toward the middle to end part of the movie, then cops chase them and stuff like that. But I'm just like, for the whole movie, I'm like, what the fuck? If you were that fucked up in public, how is no one noticing? Or how are you not getting kicked out of more places?
But also maybe like, because a lot of people...
But he's a writer, so maybe people recognized him? I don't know.
I was going to say, like, I know like, people, like, when they're on drugs, they're really paranoid.
Yeah.
So maybe, like, they're just seeing how they think they see themselves, and they're not as... I don't know.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's... It was very weird. I didn't care for it.
Yeah, I remember not caring for it either.
To me, a lot of people like this movie, I think. It feels like a lot of people like this movie.
I think it's...
Rotten Tomatoes says otherwise, because it's a 49% Rotten Tomatoes. But, I don't know, I feel like people like it. That's why I felt like I should have seen it by now.
I think it was, around the time that Johnny Depp was, like, just getting, like, huge again.
Yeah.
And, like, so everyone was, probably. Like... So I was like, oh, so it's kind of like that, like, hey, this is Johnny Depp being awesome... And then also, like, Terry Gilliam, he has a strong following. And I think Hunter S. Thompson is the original writer of the book. And he has a huge, like, niche market, too. So it's
it doesn't say it on this
page. I could be wrong, but I want to say right, Hunter though. S. Thompson. I can be right. Sometimes.
You could be. Yeah. It just says, I mean, because his character is journalist Raoul Duke.
Yeah.
And Dr. Gonzo is his lawyer. It says, written by Tony Grissoni, Terry Gilliam... Alan Cox, Todd Davies, I don't know.
I'm Googling. Who wrote Fear and Loathing? Hunter S. Thompson, yes.
There you were.
You are right.
There you were. I gave it a 4.5.
Sorry, I just thought... People also ask...
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
What drugs are used in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas?
I wonder if some of them are made up, or I just don't know of them in real life.
What is a gonzo journalist?
So let's see. Fear and Loathing...
The Kentucky Derby. And it was what?
I was just looking where it was in his repertoire of movies.
I want to say it was after Ed Wood.
It was, but there was a bunch of movies in between. Donnie Brasco came out before it. Fear and Loathing came out, and then he did The Astronaut's Wife, Sleepy Hollow. Anyway. Yeah, I gave it a 4.5 for Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. I didn't care for it, but I finally saw it. Holy crap.
Cat is staring at you.
Like, angry staring.
The next movie I watched, I borrowed from Jake Papelham. Last year when I was watching the horror movies, scariest movies, because he gave me this 2-pack of Dario, not... Uh-oh, was it? I think Dario Argento? Because I watched that really weird one with the bugs. Fuck, I forgot. Phenomenon, whatever, one of those. But it also had the movie Inferno in it, which people refer to as the spiritual sequel to Suspiria. And I can see why. But boy, oh boy, if I thought Suspiria was wacky, this movie, I don't know what to tell you. It starts off with this girl who is reading this book. Oh, shit. I forgot the name of the book. It was like The Four Mothers or something like that, or Three Mothers or something. It was a number, and I think Mothers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like it's this book saying, like, hey, the four mothers or three mothers, whatever, of the world. Like, I think it was three, because it's like, oh, one can be found here, and one can be found here, one can be found here, and the book is written in Latin, so the girl's like transcribing and some of that, but then like she ends up sending a letter to her brother saying, hey, this weird stuff is happening, I found this book, come see me, you're living in America, I'm living in somewhere in Rome or something. I could be wrong with countries, but then the brother like gets the letter, and then he sees like this woman who's staring at him in like this university classroom pit, and she has a cat, and she's just staring at him. So he runs off, And this other girl that's sitting next to him in class sees the letter, so she grabs it, and then she tries figuring out what's going on with this letter. And, dude, the movie is all over the place. I don't know what the fuck is going on. The ending is pretty awesome. But, like, because the girl is, like, trying to find, like, what is happening. So she stumbles across the book, and, like, people are getting murdered left and right. And there's a whole bunch of whack... Like, I don't even know how to describe this movie, because I don't know. It was crazy. I feel bad because, like, it was a big movie in his book, but I don't know. I can't say much more without, like, really kind of giving away what I know of the movie. Because by the end, they're like, hey, boom, 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 here's what's happening. Here you go. Deal with it. The end. And you're like, oh, sure. So for Inferno, I gave it a 6.5. Suspiria was much better, but I could see how this one could, like, lead to other movies, like, continuing on. Had some cool effects. But it had this whole world that I really want to learn more about, and I don't know, it was... Yeah. But that's... the next movie I watched was... I finally watched the movie MacGruber.
Yeah, I like that one.
I was kind of hoping for a little more than it was, because it's based on a Saturday Night Live skit, which is basically a spoof of MacGyver, in case you didn't see it. Will Forte is the main character, and what's the girl's name? The girl that is in it.
Kristen Wiig.
Kristen Wiig is in it, and then Ryan Phillippe is in it. But Val Kilmer plays a villain who gets his hands on a nuclear warhead, and his name is Kunth. C-U-N-T-H. So they made a lot of cunt jokes. They're going to pound that cunt. Some of that, you know. But they made a lot of 80s references and a lot of 80s music. And I'm like, I was kind of over that already. but there were a few funny moments. Like, I think the funniest moment that I saw was when he was talking about, like, getting the gang back together, like, to help take down this terrorist. And he, like, goes to Kristen Wiig. He's like, hey, I want you to join. She's like, sorry, I have my music now. He's like, all right, well, if you need me, here's how you get a hold of me. And he hands her a piece of paper, and she looks at the piece of paper, and she unfolds it, and it just says, I am at the Pentagon, but it's written like a 4-year-old. And then, I don't know why, that just a visualization made me laugh. And also the fact that whenever he screamed, it wasn't like a, ah! It was like a high pitch, like, yeah! It was, sorry, cat, I didn't mean to scare you. But, it had some weird jokes. Some were okay, some were funny. Overall, it was all right for a Saturday Night Live movie. I gave it a 6. So, yeah. What else you got?
I got one more.
Me too.
The last movie I watched was a movie called Wanderlust.
If you want to, I watched it in August of 2014.
And that's that. No, I'm just kidding. yeah, so what episode was it?
August 2014.
Yeah, so I'm sure he has a synopsis of it. I don't remember what he said in it, so I'm just going to say...
It was 3 years ago.
It's Paul Rudd, Jennifer Aniston, and Justin Theroux are in this movie. It feels like it's done by the guys who did The State, because almost the entire cast is in it. I'm pretty sure it's a Judd Apatow movie.
I need to take a look.
But anyway, Paul Rudd and Jennifer Aniston are married, and they live in the city, and they just get a new apartment. And the day they get a new apartment, Paul Rudd loses his job, and Jennifer Aniston's... like, she was pitching a thing to HBO, and that fell through, so they're both without a job, so they lose their apartment. So they go to move in with Paul Rudd's brother, who's Ken Marino.
Actually, that's not a Judd Apatow movie, it's a David Wayne movie.
Oh.
He directed it, and him and Ken Marino wrote it.
Oh, so it is a state. Anyway, they're going to visit Ken Marino, Paul Rudd's brother, and their car crashes, or flips, or I don't remember what happens to their car, but it gets fucked. So they end up staying the night at this resort. It's like a hippie resort where...
Commune.
A commune. They end up staying the night, and they learn about, you know, religious freedoms and, you know, one with themselves and all that stuff. And the next day they get their car fixed, so they go visit Ken Marino, and he's rich and he's got a perfect life and all this stuff, but he's a complete asshole and da-da-da-da-da. And Paul Rudd's like, this isn't fun. This kind of sucks being here. Let's go back. So then they go back to the commune, and it's sounds really boring when I'm explaining it, but it was very entertaining. There were some great jokes and great scenes. Because I rented this from the library, and after I watched it, I ended up buying it online. So it's on my way to my house right now.
There it is.
Yeah, there it is. That was
Hong Kong.
I thought it was really good.
I look back, I think I gave it a 6.
Yeah, I gave it an 8.5.
Oh, wow.
Well, because I bought it, so two obviously it's going to be, if I'm buying it.
That's like 2.5 points. It's like 5 Baby Geniuses more.
Maybe it was produced by, it says director Judd Apatow.
What did I read?
I don't know, because it says director David Wayne, but the movie itself said Judd Apatow, because it's like, oh, from the people who brought you 40-Year-Old Virgin.
He's right here, it's his top-billed crew, director David Wayne.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, because I thought it was David Wayne, too, but I thought the credits said something different.
Fuck you, Judd Apatow.
But yeah, I gave it 8.5, is that what I said?
Yeah.
For Wanderlust.
Last movie I watched of the month was In a World. That's the name of it. In a World. Lake Bell wrote, directed, and acted in the movie. Basically, she works as like a vocal coach for actors and stuff like that. So like the example they use in the movie is like Eva Longoria is in a movie and her British accent sucks. So she has to like try to teach her how to do like a better British accent. But her dad is like one of the big like movie trailer guys. Like the movie's kind of almost starts like kind of like a documentary talking about that one guy, the guy who's like in a world where this like type thing, and the top people, and Ken Marino is like also one of the big like trailer voices. But Lake Bell's character is like her dad is one of the big actor voices. So, but then like his girlfriend is moving in, so he's like, you need to get out because we're going to be doing adult stuff together. So she ends up moving in with Rob Corddry and, Rob Corddry's character's wife. But then she, like, when she's there, when she's at, like, her job, like, you know, basically telling Eva Longoria, teaching her how to do something, and, like, who's that guy that, the big nose little dude comedian who played piano and tell jokes,
whatever. Adam Sandler?
No. He had a show on Comedy Central for a while and stuff. He wanted to say Dust.
Sanders? Larry Sanders?
No, he's younger than, like, he was in the Woodstock movie. Oh, god damn it. Anyways.
I did not see the Woodstock movie either, so I don't know how I can help you here.
Anyways, so he's like, oh yeah, we needed help with this, can you do, like, just do a fill-in for this trailer? And she's like, okay, sure, fine. And she ends up, like, starts getting work doing trailers until, like, they get to a point where there's this new series called, it's like a Hunger Games ripoff. Demetri Martin.
Oh, Jesus Christ. There's no way I would have got it.
He plays piano and tells jokes.
Not really known for piano stuff, I didn't think.
Guitar?
Maybe.
One of those. But then there's this, it's called Amazon Games. So it's like a ripoff of Hunger Games, but there's like this big trilogy, and it's going to be like this huge, like, money making thing. So like, they're bringing back the whole like In a World thing with that trailer, because that they haven't used that in like trailers for years.
Mm-hmm.
But then like it starts going down, like, oh, everyone wants to do this. So then it's between like a bunch of the heavy hitters and then the main character whose name is Carol. And she's like, I gotta fight for this too, and so that, so it starts turning into this whole rigmarole of people kind of backstabbing each other and stuff like that. But yeah, it was a good movie. I thought it was pretty funny. A lot of good actors and actresses and stuff in it. That's right, Nick Offerman was in it. I gave it, I believe, a 7.5. Nope. Yep, I'm 7.5. But yeah, in a world, it was good. It was a, it wasn't overly funny, but it was like realistically funny.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, a lot of the actors and actresses are just amazing at doing their jobs and stuff like that. So it was, they were entertaining. But for the movies that I had to watch this month for my list was Perkins is 14, Voices, Dying Breed, From Within, Cat's Eyes, Creepshow, Dreamcatcher, Dolores Claiborne.
I watched Sausage Party, The Giver, Misery, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, and Wanderlust.
Well, yeah, I was just saying the ones for my list. But well,
I said it twice at the beginning. Misery and more.
The best movie I watched this month was Creepshow with an 8.
My best one I watched was Wanderlust with an 8.5.
And the worst one I watched was Perkins's 14 with a 4.5.
And the worst one I watched was Fear and Loathing with a 4.5.
So if you want to email us, tell us to watch certain movies, not to watch certain movies, what you thought about movies we liked or didn't like, all that information, you can email us at stuffbyscott@gmail.com, stuffbyscott@gmail.com.
And don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe.
Like, comment, and subscribe. But I mean, I don't know anyone that would just stumble across this podcast without knowing about it, without subscribing or knowing about it.
Yeah.
So.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Other than that, for May of 2017,
that's a wrap. Party.
Wrap party, sausage party. This is a Scott Does Stuff podcast.